Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, there is no name There is no name above the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask this morning that your word permeate our minds and our hearts and our lives. Change us. Keep changing us. Keep getting our attention. Keep affecting our hearts. Keep us sensitive to you, Holy Spirit, and what you're speaking to us. Communicate with us, Lord, today deeply, down to our innermost being, with what we need to hear. Each of us individually, personally. And have your way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. It's good to see everybody this morning. Thank you for coming. Praise God. Well, I have to tell you, it's a kind of a bittersweet morning this morning. This is my last regular sermon. And, as we do the installation of Pastor Sean and his commissioning next weekend, it's with a lot of joy and some sadness. Kind of a both thing. But I have to tell you, in what the Lord has done and what the Lord is doing and what you're going to see come, you're going to see some awesome changes. This is the time for the church to take its next step. And as we do, and I mean we all, as we do, it's going to take all of us to keep up. Amen? Isn't that right, Pastor Sean? So next week, when I commission Pastor Sean, I want to tell you that it will be, for he and I, it'll be more of a formal affair. And we're going to have some little additions to the service. But it will be a regular service for most of it. I just want to kind of prep you for this. We're not going to have any prayer or anything like that until maybe some afterwards if need be. But this is really about commissioning my son Joshua to take the church to the next phase. So, please come. Please participate. Be a part of this because you're family. And I know there are more family that are going to be here. And I want to encourage you to invite somebody. This is going to be a big event, a change. It's a change, a good change. I should say it goes from good to gooder, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So on this last message, this last part of this series, it's called A Commitment to Faith. And when Rosie and I, Pastor Rosie and I, planted the church, we started very small, it was her and I, and with a $500 seed. And that was it. And I tell you, look what the Lord has done. And there's even more. There's more things that you don't even know about yet. But what I want to tell you is that none of this could have happened without faith. I mean, zippo. Now, are you all going to build a church in your lives? No, probably not. Are a number of you going to go into ministry? I do believe that. We had that altar call with about 60 people up here who have a heart and feel that they have gotten a call to go into ministry. Good. Now, anything that you do, whether you're going into ministry or whether you're going to work, you're plowing snow, driving truck, selling jewelry, whatever it might be, Galatians 3:11, specifically, Paul says, the just shall live by faith. Now, I don't think that unless we make, and this is my own personal opinion, I don't think that unless we make in our own hearts, our own minds, our with us and the Lord, not a New Year's resolution, but a personal commitment to faith, that I'm going to be in faith, I'm going to live in faith, according to Galatians 3:11. And Paul's quoting the Old Testament, Habakkuk. This has been around for a long time. Faith in God has been around for since the beginning. Can we the just, can we the righteous, can we the new creations, can we the sons and daughters of the Most High God commit to live in faith in everything? Because that's where you see the fruit. That's where you see the change. That's where you see, man, things that you never dreamed you'd see. And I know, and they're not all great big things. They're little things too. It's all compiled into one in one life. But if you commit to live by faith, that means it's intentional. It is. And every day, when I get up in the morning, I'm like, Lord, I'm going to be in faith. I'm going to think faith. I'm going to eat faith. I'm going to breathe faith. When I pray over my food, you know, when I'm having breakfast in the morning, I'm in faith that it is going to do me well and good. When we get in the car to drive someplace, I'm in faith that we're protected and preserved by His Word. When I go about my daily business and I'm doing a little workout, I'm in faith that it's making changes in me. When I talk to people on the phone, I'm in faith that I'm saying what God is having me say. I'm in faith that I'm planting good seed. And on and on and on. You see, we understand the grace aspect. I believe we really do. And grace is God's ability to work in our lives and to do the things that we could never do on our own. Amen?
Amen.
Grace is God's favor. It's His unmerited favor. We know that. It's what He's already provided for us. You don't have to even ask for it. All you have to do is believe that it's yours. Healing and prosperity and righteousness. Being forgiven. Uncondemned. No matter what you did, even today, uncondemned is unpenalized. And that what God has promised in every area of our lives is yours right now. Bought and paid for. That's His grace. The wisdom of God. The reality of the truth of the Word being a part of our lives. That's His grace. But we take hold of it by faith. It is absolutely imperative that we understand this faith aspect. So we started the church by faith, Rosie and I. We're going to continue in faith. In every aspect of our lives, will you, and that's your personal thing, my heart, my prayer is, I hope, I pray that you do. Because this is what makes us more than conquerors through Him who loves us. Is faith. Faith. Pressing in faith to everything. Whatever you do. Whatever you do. You know, what's really been on my heart is the singles. I was single for a long time before I met Rosie. And in faith, as hard as it was sometimes, to keep from doing something immoral? Yes. To do the right thing in the ministry that I was in? to follow through, to walk with Jesus through it in the midst of a high-stress job position required faith. And the faith to wait for the promise of a spouse, a godly woman, a godly wife who loved Jesus like I do. It was faith. So my heart is for you singles. You want to get married? You know God's got somebody for you then. I'm telling you that you do. Can you be in faith? Will you be in faith? Will you stay in faith? For those of you that are married, will you be in faith in your marriage? Both of you. It may not be clicking right now. Can you be in faith that God has got bigger plans and He's got the results? For you that are going through something in your marriage, can you be in faith that God's going to ultimately work everything out for you? Can you? Can you be in faith? And I've been divorced. I know what this feels like. So if you're going through something that's like a divorce, can you be in faith that God's got you covered? Everything. I want you to think about this and go out of the box that you've built. Go outside the box. Can you go outside the box and think about everything that you do, that you face, that you look at? Can you be in faith in God? Mark 11:22, it's simple as that. Have faith in God. Because so many other ways, times, areas, we put our faith, we misplace it so subtly and put it in something else or some circumstance. Can we be in faith in God? That's my heart. To close up this section of my life is encourage you to be in faith and stay in faith in everything. 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 It will change your life. And if you aren't living this way or doing this way or thinking this way, start today. And start being in faith at least in one thing. It will change you. So the title of this message is called Practice, Practice, Practice. Right? Everybody practices something. Practice for your job. You practice for sports. You practice for attorneys. Practice law. Doctors practice medicine. Preachers practice their sermons. Everybody practices. Listen, I practice getting people healed. I hope you do. You don't see anything, step over them and go to the next one. Keep practicing. Practice prosperity. Practice righteousness. Practice, practice, practice. Practice your faith. Practice faith. It's a regular, continual thing. Let me read to you. Go to James chapter 2, please. James chapter 2. Tell me when you're there. Are we there yet? I can't get too loosey-goosey today. Thank you, Jesus. James chapter 2, verse 17. Jump down. James is blunt, and he says, thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And in the Greek it means empty. Empty. Verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Verse 19, you believe that there is one God. You do well. Well, even the demons believe that and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man or foolish woman, that faith without works is dead? So what is he saying? Okay, I get it. Faith without works is dead. to practice your faith, you can't just say, I believe God. It can't be just words. It can't be just corporate worship and saying, yeah, I believe God, or corporate together, or maybe a prayer group, yeah, I believe God. It comes with something cooperating with believing God. Something that agrees. You noticed last week when we had those healings and I had them walk. You've got to put something with, don't just stand here. You got healed. Go walk up and down, walk around the church, walk up and down the aisle. And as they did, some of them received right away, and some of them received while they were walking. Didn't even necessarily have anything to do with their injuries or their sickness. Do something. We have to put a work with our faith. We have to put some kind of cooperation with God. When we say we believe, I believe God. No, I mean, I believe God. I believe Him. I believe Him. And I'm not yet where I want to be. Practicing your faith begins with doing something. Making your body obey. Sometimes it's giving something away that maybe you really like to somebody that has a need, or maybe doesn't even have a need. Sometimes it's forgiving. You need to forgive in faith. Do you understand? Sometimes it can be all kinds of things, but it's cooperating, it's doing something. It's not just lip service. Faith cannot be just lip service. It is empty. It is dead. Am I clear? I really want to be clear on this. It is so important that we don't sit on our backsides and rest on our complacency, but that we actually do something. And when we pray for somebody, that when we're praying directly for somebody, have them do something. To actually put a work with their faith. You do something when you put a work with your faith. When I've gone through times of severe pain, excruciating pain, for various reasons, I've battled stuff most of my life. I have not always delighted in making my body do it. There's times I wanted to crawl in bed and put the covers over my head and just whimper and stay there and not move ever. And Rosie has heard me drag myself into the basement. We have an open basement and walk and pray and speak and worship and command and demand by faith what is mine to take place until I see the results. Faith requires us to cooperate with God by doing something, not just sitting and giving lip service. Does it mean it's always going to happen, whatever you're in faith for, right away when you cooperate with God? No, it does not. Does it mean what God has promised is yours? Yes. Do you still have to do it in faith and keep cooperating? Yes. There's many of you in here that are warriors. And you've stood and believed and stood and believed and sometimes just felt like giving up. Threaten to give up, maybe give up, keep coming back, and keep being in faith. You're going to see the things that God has promised you. There is no doubt about it. None. You're going to have what God has said you're going to have by His grace. There's no doubt about it.
Amen.
Amen. Because God never fails in His promises. He never quits on you or me. And He never lies. He never promises something and He does not deliver. He always delivers.
Amen.
Practice your faith. Do something. When you start believing, don't let it be lip service. But start cooperating with Him, no matter what it takes. And you have to set your mind to it because you're committed to faith. You're going to practice your faith by doing something regularly. This is a part of the commitment. That was number one. Number two, in the practice, I want you to understand you're practicing the law. Ooh, the law. If you say the law in a Grace church, everybody goes, whoa. Say it with me. Whoa. You know, there are laws under Grace. Romans chapter 3, verse 27. Romans 3, verse 27. Paul writes, now, Paul was under the law. Paul was became an awesome grace teacher with a tremendous understanding of grace, but also of faith. So in Romans chapter 3, verse 27, he says, where's the boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Or works to gain righteousness or favor with God? No, but by the law of faith. There is a law of faith. Now, this law of faith has been established by God. It's unbreakable.
Amen.
It's fixed. It's permanent. You know, we can change laws in our country and in our state by a whim. I mean, they can change the Constitution, which they're trying to do. Right? A Bill of Rights. They can do all that. Lawyers can twist laws. Judges can revoke laws. Man's laws can be modified. God's laws cannot.
Amen.
Ever. So we have, under grace, the law of faith. Can we practice the law of faith? It's simply, it really, if God says something, this is what the law of faith is. If God says something is yours, belongs to you, He's given it to you, He's redeemed you from something, He's pulled you away, He's blessed you, He's honored you, He's adopted you, then all you have to do is the same thing I have to do to practice the law. To believe Him. That's it. Just believe Him. Just believe what He says. That's all. The law of faith is established by God for us, for our benefit. You already have the measure of faith in you. Romans 12:3. It's already there. You don't have to sweat it. You don't have to work it up. You don't have to go out and buy a chunk. It's there. So, what do we practice on? If we're going to practice the law of faith, let me give you some examples. And I've covered a little bit of this already, but everything that is already provided through your salvation. Salvation, right, in the Greek, means healing, prosperity, deliverance. I expect you to say something too. Protection, preservation, right? That's the literal translation from the Greek. Now, in this definition, everything that is already provided through our salvation, this is Ephesians 2:8, by grace, is already yours. It's already yours. It is already yours. I mean, your bank account is full.
Amen.
In every way, in every area. All you have to do is believe for it. You don't even have, do you know you don't even have to ask for healing? Huh. Do you know you don't have to ask for prosperity? You can believe God for it. Still got to cooperate with the Lord by doing something. Do you know preservation, protection is automatically yours, but you got to believe for it. Deliverance. If you're stuck someplace, emotionally, spiritually, physically, some kind of sin, do you know you've been delivered from it? It's already yours. It's kind of like happened when I was smoking. Just boom. Wow. It's done. Huh. Man, I smoked like a chimney. A bad chimney. Wow. Same with Rosie. Delivered. Delivered. Not that smoking was sin. It's just really bad for you. It'll kill you before your time. That's all. Anything that we're bound by, we're delivered. It's already yours. All you have to do is believe. Okay, that's the first part of this. Practicing under the law. This is how I do this. Number two, should you need to ask something? Lord, I lost my job. Lord, they're going to give me a vaccine mandate. Lord, you know, whatever it might be. I'm asking you to replace, refill, restore, bring back, change this, modify this, open something up. I'm asking you for something according to your will. Then you know what? 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. I'm only paraphrasing this. Anything you ask according to His will, anything you ask according to His will, you know He hears you, and if He hears you, you know you have the request you've asked. This is practicing the law of faith. I've asked you, Lord. I asked for a wife that loved God like I do. And He said, sure thing. Actually, He didn't say it like that. But I heard the Lord say, the same promise I gave Abraham, I'm giving to you. Now, that was what He was talking about when He promised Abraham a son. And I knew that. And I thought, oh, phooey. This is going to be a long wait. And it was. I wouldn't trade it for the world because I got the best. Amen. Now, I asked God for something according to His will for me. Huh. Did it happen overnight? No, certainly didn't. Did He bring it to pass? Absolutely. If you ask anything according to His will, He hears you. And if you know He hears you, you know you've got the request that you've asked. Then lastly, in practicing the law, comes out of our mouth. You know, we've covered this a lot. Mark 11, 22 and 23. Speaking to mountains, we forget the words that we use. We don't think about what we speak a lot of times. We need to. If I'm going to speak to some situation or I'm going to speak to a circumstance and I know that I have the power of God in me. Now, I know I've got His authority. I know that His power lives in me. I know that Jesus is alive in me. I know that and I'm in Him. I know that. I know when I speak to things, they have to change. Do I see it always right away? No. Do I see it come to pass? Absolutely. I shared with a young lady last week. I said, I used to wear glasses. She wanted to get rid of her glasses. And her eyes, there was a miracle happening right there. Now, I said, I wore glasses for years. But for 3 years, I spoke to my eyeballs. I said, you have 20/20 vision. Well, it was measured a couple months ago. I have 20/20 vision. But that's how this works. I speak and mountains move. And I believe it because I'm practicing the law of faith. Can you say it with me? I'm going to practice the law of faith. Praise God. Praise God. Good. Now, here's something nobody likes. When you practice your faith, it will get tested. Everybody go, ooh. Go to James chapter 1. If you're still in James, go to James chapter 1. James 1, verse 2. My brethren and my sistren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Knowing, you go into this knowing, that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. First of all, when you practice your faith, it's going to get tested. It's a given. Just about every single time. It's going to get tested. Nobody likes a test. I mean, nobody. I don't like tests. But you know what? When James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be complete, lacking nothing. Why can we count it all joy? Why does he say that? I want to believe and not have a test. Doesn't work that way. Count it all joy. Why can we count it all joy? Let me give you some things to think about here. Because within the test that you're going through, you're always going through it. You're not going to stay there because God will bring you through. I remember Andrew Womack used to say this all the time when we were in school. God will pull you through if you can stand the pull. God will pull you through if you can stand the pull. And it's true. I'm saying this by experience. As many of you can also. Why can we count it all joy? And that's really what I think we need to know. Because in the midst of the test, what's happening in us, whatever the test is, because we're in faith, right?
Yes,
we're in faith.
Yes.
So whatever the test is, whatever's testing us and testing our faith and producing this patience is producing within the patience, it's purifying us. Now, when I say purifying, and we're already holy in our spirits, but our souls pretty much stink. Amen?
Amen.
Our souls, our emotions, our thinking, our feelings can get pretty putrid in a test.
Amen.
And what's happening is in the test, in this test and walking through in faith and believing God. We're not seeing something right now. The testing of our faith is producing a purifying in our soulish realm because we're believing God. And what's happening is the soul, our soul, is getting brought over into more and more what I call holiness rather than the natural carnal stuff that we think about and dwell on and feel and go through. It's really being made by this purifying more holy because in this test of faith, I mean, we're sticking with it. We're believing God. We're staying. We're committed. And I'm going to believe you, Lord. And it's working something that's purifying in me, because all the flesh junk is beginning to fall off. It has to. If you're going to count it all joy in the testing of your faith, your flesh is going to fight, but it's going to fall off if you stick in there.
Amen.
And there is a purifying that goes on inside of us.
Yes.
This is a part of what real holiness is. Just a part. We also gain wisdom by the testing of our faith, producing patience. We're gaining wisdom all the time. Now, wisdom, in by definition, in the Greek, is knowledge, experience, all leading to be able to make good judgments, good decisions. Knowledge, experience, leading to making good decisions. We're gaining that in walking through the test of our faith. It also develops discipline in our lives. You ever known anybody that led a really undisciplined life? It's chaos. How could they be in faith on anything? It's building a disciplined lifestyle. It brings correction. The testing of our faith brings correction to us. It corrects us where we goof up, where we're wrong, where our thinking's wrong, where our doctrine might be wrong. It brings correction because we're searching for the answers while we're gaining patience through this test of our faith. It draws us near to Him. I used to think when, you know, the test that I would go through, this is back a ways, but man, I was going through some hard stuff. And I thought, well, I'm going to believe you, Lord. I'm not going to believe the devil. And devil, you might as well give up because you're just driving me nearer to Jesus. I'm not going to quit.
Yeah, that's right.
So the testing of our faith can either drive us nearer to Jesus, nearer to the Father, nearer to the Holy Spirit. Or, if we're not really committed to faith, you just quit.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's a good thing, because those who are committed will be drawn nearer to Him. It's maturing to go through a test of our faith. It makes us grow up. We're not kids, not babies. It makes us grow. It strengthens our faith. It makes us more like Jesus. That's what we really want, isn't it?
That's it. Yes, sir. Amen.
Proverbs 24, verse 10. Don't go there. Proverbs 24, verse 10, for sake of time, says, if you faint, or in the Hebrew, you get disheartened, disillusioned, in the day of adversity, or the day of testing, your strength is small. Now, strength in this context is power. And I'm going to put faith in here. I'm going to read it to you the way that I've got it. It's a little bit of a paraphrase. If you get disheartened in the day of testing, your faith is small. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. And Timothy went through some tough stuff. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. While we're practicing the law of faith and getting tested, we're going to have to fight the good fight of faith to stay there. That means we're going to keep pressing in. Amen?
Amen?
Because we made a commitment to faith. Now, when we practice, this is what the produce is. This is what the fruit is. John 14, verse 12. John 14, verse 12. Jesus said, and I want you to hear him speaking to you very personally right now. Most assuredly, I say to you, you who believe in me, have faith in me, the works that I do, you will do also. And greater works than these, you will do, because I go to the Father. That is for each one, right here, right now. That's the practice that produces the fruit. So how do you do this? And I want to wrap up with this. How do you do it? In Matthew chapter 14, don't go there. Matthew chapter 14, the disciples were taking a boat in a windstorm across the lake. Jesus sent them over there. He said, I'll catch up with you later. And about 4 o'clock in the morning, he's like a mist walking across the ocean, across the lake, big lake. And they see him in the distance. They think it's a ghost and they freak out. I mean, they scream. They were panicked. And Jesus said, don't worry, it's me, guys. So Peter says, if it's you, tell me to come out. So he says, come on, Peter. So Peter jumps out of the boat and he's standing on water with Jesus. And he starts walking to Jesus. Now Peter is the only one that got out of the boat. Everybody else was still freaked. Peter got out. And even as he began to sink, because he looked around at the circumstances, the wind and the waves, Jesus reached down, pulled him up, and he says, why did you doubt? Come on, buddy. Let's go back to the boat. It's going to be okay. I paraphrased. In practicing our faith and the how-to, you have got to get out of the boat. You have to get out of the boat. I made that decision myself a long time ago. There are many believers, and I put this in quotes, who never get out of the boat. Never. Ever. Get out of the boat. You've got to get out of the boat. If you're going to practice your faith, you've got to get out of the boat. Number two, in how to practice your faith. Also in Matthew 14, Jesus had between 5 and 10,000 people on a hillside, segmented in all kinds of groups. He had a handful of loaves and some fish. And the disciples said, where are we going to get the food to feed this group? Holy moly, this is bigger than the volunteer banquet. Jesus said, you feed them. Now this is by faith. So when Jesus gets the bread and he gets the fish, he's not looking at the crowd. He looks up. And literally in the Greek, it means he got his vision back. Last week I told somebody, I said, don't let the anointing fall out of your eyeballs when you're praying for somebody. Don't look at the situation. Don't look at where they're at. Don't look at where they're laying down and blood's coming out or whatever it might be. There might be an abscess or a sore or don't look at the bank book and what's going on in the bank book. Don't look at those things. Don't look at the sin that's entrapped. Don't look at that.
That's right.
Look up. Look at Jesus. Look at the Father. Look at who is in you. Get your focus back on Him. Not on the circumstances, not on the need, not on the issue. And Jesus didn't multiply the loaves. He handed them to his disciples, and then they multiplied. And they fed with an overabundance, more than 5,000 people. What? So the second part of how to do this is stop looking at it and look up. Look at Him. Hebrews 12:2 says, keeping your eyes on Jesus, fixed, the author and perfecter of our faith. Look up. Don't look at it. You know, I've had people when they come in, lots of debilitating stuff. It doesn't bother me. But sometimes it bothers people. I tell them, shut your eyes then. Stop looking at it. Stop examining your bank book. Stop it. And look up. All right, number three. Matthew 13, Jesus said, speaking to the people, after He'd spoken, He said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, that's an odd saying for us today. And what it means in the Greek is, if you hear it, and it's from God, then do something about it. Obey it. If God tells you to do something, or you can do something, and you've heard it, then obey. Go do. It's that simple. So we've got, get out of the boat, look up, hear and obey. Take every opportunity, and this is my charge to you. Take every opportunity you face to practice your faith. Every single one. Don't let one go by. We don't think about life like that. We're used to just cruising. Don't get used to just cruising anymore. Take every opportunity you have to practice your faith. You will see the miraculous. Don't hesitate to lay hands on somebody that needs it. Don't hesitate to do whatever the Holy Spirit prompts you to do. You're going to see the miraculous. God's called us all to that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, my heart, my life, my greatest desire is that we all draw nearer to You. That we would live in the faith that You have put into us, given to us. That we would do and experience a life of faith like You've intended for us. And I pray in Jesus' name, though we are extremely blessed, that we would go out and begin to experience faith, practice faith more than we ever have in our lives. Because we are committed to faith now in You forever. Lord, we love You and honor You with our faith. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Jesus'
name.
Amen.
Amen.
Y'all are a blessing. Thank you so much.